Hey, kids, you don't have to, but I invite the kids, if you're, you know, pre-K through six, I'm going to invite you to come up and just have a seat down here. Kids, come on up if you're willing and able. Come on, everybody. You don't have to, but if you're up, come on up. Yeah, Randy, you can come too. Because, yo, seriously, come on. I would love it if you were up here. You totally, come on, yeah, come up here. Good morning. All right, you guys can have a seat and face me, okay? Have a seat and face me, all right? Now, here's the deal. This is Family Sunday, so the challenge, of course, is teaching that's accessible to them and meaningful for you all. So sometimes, kids, I'm going to be talking right at you. Sometimes I'm going to ignore you and talk at them. And sometimes I'm going to try to talk to all of us at the same time. Okay, fair enough? All right, so you were all in last week, you were in fourth fun day for those of you that were here. So you didn't hear Pastor Mike's sermon. But last week, we were going through 1 Samuel chapter 8. And the Israelites, God's chosen people, their country, they were saying, they're kind of whining. You guys, I have a question for you. You ever been in a store and see something that you liked, whether it was food, Cocoa Pebbles, Beyblades, whatever the case is, and go, I really want it, I want it. You guys ever whine to your parents like that? No, never? Yeah, never. I cannot relate to you. So sometimes that happens, and that's what Israelites were doing with God. They were doing this. They were going, hey, we want a king, because they saw next door to them, they had different countries with kings. And they saw the armies, and they saw how the king was leading those armies, and there's things to every people to battle. And the Israelites are saying, we want a king, we want a king. And God's like, I'm your king. They said, no, we want a human king. We want to be like them, because we want to be protected and safe. And God's like, I'm your security. No, we want a real king. So what ends up happening? As we learned last week in chapter 8, the Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. That's what God said. All right, here you go. But if you get an earthly king, some things are not going to be so good the way you thought. They're like, we don't care. We don't care. We want a king anyway. And then what happened is there is this guy, Samuel, who's the book that we're reading through is named after. Samuel was a prophet and a priest. And God said, okay, Samuel, someone's going to come, and I want you to take that guy and anoint him as king. Take a listen and watch what happens.
In the tribe of Benjamin, there lived a young man named Saul. He was taller and better looking than anyone else in the whole nation. This was the kind of king that the Israelites wanted. Samuel anointed Saul as the king of Israel. In a grand coronation ceremony, Samuel presented Saul to the people. Long live the king, Israel shouted.
So here's this guy, Saul. Saul is taller than everybody else. He's apparently a good-looking dude. And Israel's like, yeah, we want someone like that. So here's what's going on. Saul becomes king. He actually was kind of hesitant about becoming king because he was part of the Benjamite tribe, and they were kind of a smaller tribe of Israel. He's like, I don't know. But then he became king, and they do the whole coronation, long live the king, woohoo! And Saul starts doing things that kings do. They protect the country. They run the country. They do things. And there's this one particular instance where a country started to invade one of the cities of Israel. And now, if you're the king and somebody comes and starts to invade, what do you think you're going to do? You're going to try to solve the problem, right? So, but what ends up happening, they want to do a treaty so they don't have to go to war. And so King Saul says, hey, let's do a treaty. And the country that was coming said, we'll do a treaty on one condition. We gouge out each of your right eyes. Would you guys like that treaty? Hey, let's make an agreement. Yeah, you can have that toy, but just let me take your right eye first. That's not a good deal. So what ends up happening, what we read in Scripture is this. This is kind of interesting. When Saul heard their words, the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he burned with anger. One of the cool things about King Saul is that God empowered him, not just with the earthly wisdom and power, but God filled him with his presence. And that didn't always happen in the Old Testament, but God filled him with his presence, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He burned with anger, and they went and did their thing. And then Saul started doing what kings did, and he started going to battles and winning wars and doing all kinds of cool things. But then something happened with King Saul. I want to see if you can catch it. Listen to this next part.
The new king got right to work. One of Israel's enemies, the Ammonites, invaded an Israelite city. Saul summoned the people. The men came, hundreds of thousands of them. They gathered as an army, surrounded the city, and slaughtered the enemy. Saul went out again with his army and slaughtered another invading force. The more victory Saul had, the prouder he became. Israel and Saul soon forgot that God was responsible for their victory.
So cool things are happening with King Saul in the sense of him being king. He's winning lots of battles. He's protecting his country. He's winning the wars. And he's doing things that at first God had called him to do. But did you catch that last statement that we just heard in the video? Maybe you missed it. Adults, did you catch that? Saul and Israel soon forgot that God was responsible for their victory. See, even though Saul was the king, even though Saul was in charge of the entire country, and even though Saul was leading his country to victory, Saul was still under the guidance of God. And Saul was still needing to be obedient to his God. And you know what ended up happening? Saul became proud. He thought that all his victories were his doing. He's like, I am all that and a bag of chips. Look how good I am. And he and the country started to forget that it was God that was behind them. And they forgot that God was giving them their victory. Saul and Israel forgot, and that's a sad thing. And you know what ends up happening? God gave Saul, through the prophet Samuel, some direction. Like, hey, when you do this, you got to do this. When you're victorious, remember me. And by the way, when you're victorious and when I call you to worship and do sacrifice, when I call you to do these things, don't do it the wrong way. God gave him clear direction. But sometimes Saul didn't always listen. Let's see what happens after Saul started to get proud and forget that God was behind everything.
But then something changed. After yet another successful battle, Saul was supposed to wait for the priest Samuel to come so he could offer a sacrifice. Instead, he decided that he himself was worthy of sacrificing to God. This was a big mistake. Samuel showed up soon after and confronted him. "You have sinned," Samuel told him. God's favor and blessing on Saul was about to change.
God's blessing on Saul was about to change. See, God told Saul to wait for Samuel to do the things that God had asked Samuel to do. And Saul got impatient and said, I'm good enough. I'm going to do it my way. And that was being disobedient to God. In fact, when Samuel comes, he says this to him. He says, Saul, you have done a foolish thing. You have not kept the commandment the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now, your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler over his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. It was about being obedient, and Saul was disobedient. In fact, his consequence was pretty big. Hey, guess what? You're not going to reign forever, and someone else is going to come take your place. It's more true to the heart of God. All right, I have a question for you kids. Just raise your hand. Don't shout it out. What is the chore or task that you hate to do the most that your parents ask you to do? Ian? Clean up your room. How many would you agree with that? Clean your room. What about yours, Rachel? Unload the dishwasher. What else? I know your guys's, but yes, Tony, what's yours? Unload the dishwasher. All right. All right. How many of you would be sweeping or doing something like that? I know it's yours. Yes. All right. Now, here's a question for you. Now, sometimes I have to tell my kids, go brush your teeth. And then sometimes I hear, I did, but I didn't hear water running. I don't smell any. How many of your parents will question whether or not you've brushed your teeth by checking one of two things, either your breath or to see if your toothbrush is actually wet? Parents, you ever done this with your kids? Yeah? Oh, yeah. So we know the drill, right? I brush my teeth. Come, let me smell your breath. It smells like vomit. Go brush your teeth. Okay? Yeah, so we all know the drill. That's happened before. Sometimes we obey. Now, some of you said cleaning a room is your least favorite task. How many of you have ever cleaned your room? You just want to get the stuff off the floor. But instead of putting stuff where it goes, you shove it under your bed. You put all the clothes in one drawer, even though you might have four drawers, or you shove everything in the closet, close the door, and hope that the parents won't notice. You guys ever done that? No? No? Wow, you're so much better than I am, yeah? How many of you, yeah, I know it's real in my house. How many of you have been maybe asked to sweep the floor under the dishwasher, but you don't do it all the way? You just kind of partway do it. has ever, yeah, sometimes you try to get away with as little as you can, right? That's what's going on with Saul. Saul was given clear commands. Hey, do this. And he's like, oh, I'll do it kind of, you know, just shove stuff under the rug. Or I know you told Samuel to come, but I'm going to do it because I'm the king and I'm good and I'm going to do my own thing. Well, Saul was the very first king of Israel. He had a ginormous task ahead of him, a great responsibility, a great honor. And you know what he ended up doing? He didn't listen. He didn't listen to his heavenly father. What happens when you guys don't listen to your parents? You guys ever get a timeout? You get screen time taken away? Time with friends taken away? There's consequences, right, when we don't listen and obey. Yeah, that's what happens. But let's see what happens with Saul. So here's the deal. King Saul is the king, right? He's been tasked by God to lead Israel. He's been given some clear commands. Samuel tells him, hey, you're blowing it. Please, you got to obey God's command. Your kingdom is going to be shorter than you thought. Now, at that point, I think with most kids, hopefully, if we're raising them right, when we discipline them or give them consequences, it hopefully sinks in something that for the next time, maybe they'll choose a little bit better, right? We don't want to just instill morality. We want to instill character so they do the right thing even when it's tough. Now, I would think with King Saul being the first king, head taller than everybody else, pretty cool dude, good warrior, you would think that with Samuel calling him out, Saul would go, oh, wait a minute. Let me look in the mirror here. Maybe I got to be better. You think Saul would do that? That's what we'd hope. But let's watch and see what happens with King Saul. Oh, before we get to the next part, there was another command. God's giving Saul some grace. You guys, your parents sometimes give you grace. Like, I know you blew it, but I'll let it go this time. Just don't do it again. This is the command that God gave Saul. Now go, attack the Amalekites, it's another group of people, and totally destroy all that belongs to them. It's kind of a funky command. It's weird, I get it, but God was very clear. Destroy everything that belongs to them because some of the stuff that they have is going to be stuff that you might want. Some of that stuff they have is going to be stuff that you think is better than yours. Some of that stuff they have, you're going to want to hang on to. But trust me, it's going to lead to not good things. That's all he had to do, destroy all that belonged to them. Let's see what he did.
Things got worse. Sure, Saul was enjoying great military success, but he was also disobeying God's commandments. As Saul came to one enemy city, preparing to conquer it, God told Saul and his army, destroy everything. But Saul disobeyed. Instead, he took the good stuff for himself. He didn't destroy it. He stole. God had to reject Saul as king of Israel.
That's a bummer. God had to reject Saul as king of Israel. There's his consequence. Saul was given a very clear command, get rid of all the stuff. And he didn't. In fact, let's look what the Bible says, okay? Adults, now I'm going to be going more towards you kids. You're awesome. Hang in there. Follow along with me as we read this. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. You guys hear that? God's sad. I don't think I've ever had time with Kirsten and go, man, I'm sorry we had kids. No, we didn't have to say that. Although the bumper sticker is amazing. Like, hey, my wife and I decided not to have kids. Our kids are taking it really hard. So anyway, God is sad. Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Even early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, Saul's gone to a different place, Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor. What? Saul's supposed to be recognizing God, and he set up a monument in his honor. Look how good I am. And when Samuel reached him, Saul said, now check this out, this is great. Saul said, hey, the Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions. Huh. So Samuel goes, well, if that's true, I hear these sheep, and I hear the cows going, moo. Where did they come from? Oh. And here's Saul's answer. Isn't this just like us humans? Deflect the blame. Go, the soldiers brought them up. I didn't do it. Soldiers brought them up from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we destroyed the rest. Oh, did Saul fully obey? No, he didn't. God told him to destroy everything. and he brought the best stuff, and then he tried to lie about it, and then he put the blame on his soldiers. Saul was in charge. It was all on him, but he wasn't taking responsibility for his actions. In fact, he was blame-shifting, and then he kind of lied and said, well, we're going to sacrifice the best things. And then Samuel says him something. So here's the deal. Saul made excuses. Kids, you ever tried to lie to get your way out of being in trouble? Sometimes we do, huh? We get caught in it. I brush my teeth, really. I clean my room, kinda. That's what Saul's doing here. He's trying to make up for it. He's trying to make himself sound better than he really was. He lied, he didn't take responsibility, and it cost him dearly. It eventually cost him the kingship. And this is what Saul said. Now, think about this. We all agreed Saul didn't obey, right? He goes, but I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. And then the Chris Goffold translation, we kept the best stuff to sacrifice the best things to God. I don't think that was true. But Samuel tells him, even if that was true, here's Samuel's reply to Saul. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? And then here's the kicker. To obey is better than sacrifice. That's kind of a loaded term. And adults, this is for us as well as for the kids. See, here's the deal. For Saul to obey actually meant giving up everything. When we sacrifice something, we actually maybe get to keep a little of that something. So look at this. Obedience always involves sacrifice, but sacrificing isn't necessarily obedience. We could sacrifice our time. We could sacrifice some money. We might give some time or some money to the food bank or whatever, but it might not actually be obedient to the Lord. We could sacrifice our time and get involved with church activities and do all kinds of things and be part of Bible studies and hang out here, but it might not be discipleship. We can sacrifice some things, but God might actually call you to give more of your time or more of your money in a different way. You guys seeing the distinction there? So obedience always involves sacrifice. If I'm going to be obedient to God, it's going to cost me something. But I can certainly hide some sacrificial things and call it obedience, and it might not be. And that's what God, through the prophet Samuel, is telling Saul, hey, your obedience, your heart, that's what I want from you, not just your busy activities. And even though most of that might be good, you destroyed most of the things, but you still kept a little bit of stuff over here. God wants our full hearts, just like your parents. Your parents ever say, listen and obey right away? We tell that to our kids. It's really wise to do with your parents or your guardians, but it's also important that we do that with God. God, what does it mean to be obedient to you? And not just sacrifice some stuff. So, a couple lessons from King Saul. Take it or leave it. Adults, this is for us now. Kids, you've been awesome. I'm almost done. I'll let you go back to your seats. Don't pick and choose God's commands for your convenience. We do that all the time, but it's really important. It costs King Saul dearly. Don't pick and choose God's commands for your convenience. Number two, don't resent those who disagree with you. Saul wasn't really wanting to listen to Samuel. Sometimes we need people in our lives that can call us out and tell us the things that we need to hear, even if they're hard. And Saul wasn't willing to do that. Number three, one of the things that cost Saul was his self-reliance. I got this. I don't want to trust God with my finances. I don't want to trust God with this. I'm going to take matters into my own hands because that's what I do. The rugged, marble, solitary man. Well, that's not a biblical picture at all. Not only is self-reliance hard and costly, but we can't be reliant. We need people and we need God's help. And then finally, Saul got proud and haughty, and he got to the place where he thought he was all that. Don't prioritize your status or your wealth or your accumulation. If that is the starting point, that's the wrong starting point. See, Saul had an amazing beginning. He was anointed, called by God, revered as king, started doing things empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then he started to give into these things. And then his self-reliance, his pride, his inability to listen to others, and his desire to keep his status ended up being his downfall. So men and women, for you out there, where maybe can you relate to Saul? either in the good parts or the parts that started to cost him his life and his kingdom. Where might you be more attentive to obedience than just sacrifice?